sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, and I'm in the solo captain's chair this morning. Becky Ivins, the queen bee of Oklahoma Real Estate, is taking a very rare Saturday morning off. I'm not sure the last time I've ever heard of her taking a Saturday morning would be with her family. She usually juggles her family and profession so very, very well, and she said, Mark, I'm going to take this weekend off. It's your show to take and sail with, so I hope that I will take us off into good waters and not to land us on the beach somewhere. But here with me is one of our favorites, Tim Fain from Exceptional Carpet Cleaning and Floor Care. And good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
I'd love to have Tim on the show. That I know you and Becky have been close for quite some time.
Many years.
And you are our go-to when it comes to taking care of these floor care issues, which so many homes deal with. And yes, if you're out there and you want to be a part of today's show, you can call in at 840-1000, 840-1000, and ask Tim or myself a question. Great time if you're dealing with a floor care issue, you're not sure with your carpet, your tile, your wood, your linoleum, whatever floor care you have, it's a great morning to call in and get those questions answered. Now, Tim, how did you get into this business with Exceptional?
Kind of interesting. My degree is in fashion merchandising, and I actually manage department stores like Rothschild's for the old school listeners out there for many, many years. And as that started to dissipate, my twin brother and I started a house cleaning service that we built up fairly large, and we had some retail stores that we were dealing with. But he said, we're getting a lot of calls from our house cleaning service, people wanting carpet cleaning and tile cleaning. And I said, gosh, just recommend them to one of those people. You know, there's lots of people out there that do it. And he said, we've not found anybody we're happy with. And I just think that there's something more out there that we could do. And I was unsure about it. I went and took my first certification class, which, by the way, most people don't even attend one. But I went to it just to see if it was something I felt I could do and be good at. And I took it and was able to come into my own home and clean up some spots on my carpet that some national franchise people told me couldn't come out after just one certification class. And I thought, there's something to this. I can be do better than what some other people are doing out there. So that was about 15 years ago, and here I am.
I didn't know there was certification classes out there.
What does that entail?
What are you learning?
It's by the IICRC, which is the governing certifying body that's out there, and they give classes on certification for carpet cleaning, for tile cleaning, for oriental rug cleaning repair, all kinds of things. And you go to class and you take a 200-question test at the end of it, and to see if you gather that. They do a lot of hands-on things. I've traveled all around the country taking different courses, and I'm actually one of two master certified textile cleaners in the state of Oklahoma. So that takes about 8 years of training, education, and experience to get.
Well, I tell you, I know the first time that I was with you when you were testing a carpet whether it needed to be cleaned, you blew me away. Because normally I was taught, you know, when I've been around carpet cleaning individuals, it's, you know, well, we're going to basically spray water into it and suck it up with some kind of detergent.
Right.
And, Tim, you go over like, well, this is what's causing the problem. You have to deal with the problem or it just comes back. I remember you saying that.
Yeah. The first thing that we like to do is pre-inspect carpet. We walk through the entire premise. We want to know what kind of carpet it is, what kind of soil that you have, because every different carpet fiber or floor type responds differently to different things depending on, you know, how you live and what your issues are. So,
well, let's start with the biggest, probably most prevalent thing, which is carpet. We'll start with carpet on here. And what is the most common problem that people face with carpet when it comes to cleaning?
Number one, I would tell that people don't vacuum their carpets nearly enough. The more often that you can vacuum with a good vacuum that has a beater bar to it, an upright with a beater bar that can really get the soil up, the better off that you are. The little iRobot things, those are fine for hard surfaces. Mm-hmm. They don't have the weight, don't have the suction ability. So I say number one thing you can do is vacuum your carpet frequently, put down walk-off mats or mats under your feet, like at your favorite spot on the sofa or the recliner, to protect that a little bit, because that's where you kind of tend to shuffle your feet. But those would be the biggest things that I would say as far as protecting your investment in carpet.
I mean, that's where it is an investment. Those are costly things. Absolutely. Is there a particular style of vacuum? I mean, you said the iRobot is good for just picking up little things, but they're not going to deep clean.
Right.
Yeah. But is there a particular, like you said, the scrub that they should look for, the suction power in a vacuum?
There's a lot of good ones that are out there. The biggest thing is most of them are made out of plastic, and so you have to be prepared to throw them away in a couple of years if you wear them out and get another one. But Shark makes a lot of good ones. The main thing I just tell people is look for a good beater bar on it, the little brush roller that agitates it, in an upright style.
So what makes it good? Like, what's a good beater bar? I know what you're talking about, but I've never heard it called a beater bar before. Okay.
The reason why a beater bar is important is that vibration helps break loose the surface tension of the soil and then allows it to be sucked up. Mm-hmm. In basic carpet cleaning, the cleaners that we put down, they're loaded with surfactants. And those surfactants are meant to break the surface tension so that soil will be released out into the water we rinse it in so we can take it back to the truck. Beater bar does it with a different thing, and that's with vibrations from mm-hmm. that brush roller.
So is it like the stiff bristle? Is it like, how do you check what's a good one, like the long bristle or a hard bristle or a number?
You don't want too aggressive. And so, you know, Shark is one that's approved for carpet cleaning. You know, the Animal Dyson is the only vacuum that will void a warranty on your car, on some carpet.
Really?
Yeah, because it has too aggressive of a brush and can actually do fiber damage. So that particular one, it's great for pet hair and that type of things. And if you don't care about your warranty, you know, then use it. It does have good suction and removes pet hair good. But it actually, and some manufacturers, will void the warranty on new carpets.
So I have never heard that a vacuum can do that. And so we're already learning so much this morning. We're going to talk about more about what carpet is the best carpet for you in the long term and how to take care of those wood floors on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're here with Tim Fain from Exceptional Fuller Care. And if you want to call in and be a part of the program, you can call in at 840-1000, 840-1000. I also want to encourage you that you want to listen to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move outside of Saturday morning, or if you miss a Saturday morning program, you can subscribe to our podcast at the iTunes app or wherever you subscribe to podcasts. Just Google Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, or Google Becky Ivins podcast, and it will pop up, and hit subscribe. Now, Tim, we're talking about carpet right now, and the question I always get, and I'm sure I think you probably get it more than I do, when I'm showing people's houses, they go, is this good carpet? How long will this carpet last? Is this, you know, exceptional carpet?
Right.
So how do you answer the question of what's the best carpet to pick?
Well, I tell people everybody's lifestyle is different. So every floor type and every carpet type has its good qualities and its bad qualities. So you kind of tailor that to what your lifestyle is. Get as good a carpet as you can afford. And you know good carpet, because if you put your fingers down into the carpet fiber, if they go straight to the backing, it's not real good carpet. The harder it is to get your fingers down into the backing, the more yarns there are in the per square inch. So that's going to give you more durability, more wear. People talk about builder's grade. Your builder's grade obviously has the fewest yarns per square inch, and that's the reason why it's so cheap, because not necessarily because of the fiber type that they use, but because they didn't use a lot of it in putting it in there. Well, when it's not packed in tight, it's easily crushed down and it lays over on its side. Then you start seeing wear patterns. When a carpet fiber starts to get worn, it lays over on its side. It doesn't reflect light back to your eye the way it was intended to. And so it looks darker in those traffic lanes because of that. So a better carpet doesn't do that. Nylon is the most durable carpet fiber that's out there, but it can stain, like pet stains and furniture stains. Polyester is resistant to that, but not as durable in wear areas. And then polypropylene, or olefin as it's called, it's actually made out of recycled plastic bottles, and it's less durable than any of them, but it's completely hydrophobic, so you can put red Kool-Aid on it, whatever you want, and it'll clean right up, but it won't be as durable. Now, one thing that they're doing now, and something I put in my home recently, is a solution-dyed nylon, and that's what I've been recommending a lot to my customers, that want something that will last 20 to 30 years if you take care of it. Solution dyed nylon mixes the best of both worlds, both the stain resistance of a polyester or olefin with the durability of a nylon.
So it depends if it's just you within the home, or you and a partner, spouse, and or you have four kids, three dogs, a parrot, a cat, and a monkey.
Yeah. That's your exact. If I can't afford solution dye nylon, or don't want to put that investment in, and I have kids with Kool-Aid and all that, then I'm going to go with a polyester or a polypropylene, where it's going to resist those red stains. And or if I have pets that have accidents all the time, and I don't want, you know, those troublesome stains on the carpet that are permanent or can be permanent, then I'm going to go with a polyester, you know, which they go Triexta and different brand names, you know, but they're basically a polyester or a polypropylene. And realize that it's just probably going to get some traffic lanes and wear patterns sooner than nylon.
So we just threw out a bunch of names, and if some of you were trying to write that down and you're going, I have no idea what was said. Two things you can do. One is you can just send us a message. You go to BeckyIvins.com, click on you contact us, send us a message. You can also find Tim Fain's contact there and Becky's favorites. Or on there, you can click the radio button, and that'll take you to the podcast page, and you can come back and re-listen. Just go back to this segment and re-listen to this segment, and or send us a message at BeckyIvins.com, and we'll get back to you. So the pets take
us. Now, I've never been told that I'm talking too fast.
It's a banner day for you, Tim. Tim, your cadence and your voices were just one of my favorite things. Tim and I were talking before the show about, I was asking him, he goes, he always gets asked where he grew up from it, and it's Oklahoma.
It's
I mean,
right.
You were Oklahoma born and bred.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. So, but I love it. Now, the pets take us to one of the big issues with carpets, which is odor.
Right.
And I know that when you and I were out at one house where the rest of the house, they had put new carpet and smelled, but when we walked into the master bedroom, it was like you got hit with an odor hammer.
Right.
And it was, and you came out with this
black light
walking
moisture pro.
Yes. And so how do you deal with odors?
You know, one thing is to know where the odor is coming from, because lots of different things can cause odors. But the most prevalent with pets is if you have an oily breed like a Labrador or something that has a wiry coat or a oily coat. Oils from the dog's skin and hair, when they lay down on the carpet, can create a doggy dander smell, kind of that doggy, I just bathed the dog smell. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we don't detect it ourselves when we live in the house, but I know that Becky Ivan's crew is very good at being honest with their customers and telling them, you know, we have an issue here that might slow down the sale. And a lot of times it's doggy dander, and we just have to, we actually use a disinfectant with a solvent to kind of break loose those dog oils and be able to rinse and clean those up. And then a lot of times it's a urine odor, and we detect that with black light, which you can do at home. You can use a UV black light and shine it on your carpet and kind of see where your pets have gone. Don't faint, because you'll probably find spots that you didn't realize was there. The other thing I would tell you, though, is that not everything that illuminates under black light could be, you know, pet accident. There's oxidizers on the market and different things. So when the glow of your UV light is kind of a yellow-greenish cast, then it's probably urine. If it's kind of a white, purplish, or bluish cast, then it's probably a result of a spot cleaner or oxidizer that you've used, that type of thing. So don't panic when you see some of those things, because not everything is urine. So
that's what I get overwhelmed with, like spot cleaners and that kind of thing. And so, like, I'm taking care of my son's dog right now.
Right.
And it's, you know, if there's a spot or something that's there, what should we do?
The first thing you should do when you discover a pet accident and it's damp is obviously blot up as much moisture as you can get out. Don't rub. You know, when you rub, you're actually damaging the carpet fiber, untwisting it, and you're wearing it prematurely. So blot, don't rub. Once that's been done, take hot water from your tap, pour it in that area, blot it back up, all the excess that you can get, to remove as much of that urine as you can, and then put a white towel. Like everybody's, you know, if you have pets, you probably have a area that you keep old towels in that you bathe the dog with or wipe their muddy paws off. Fold it over two or three times where it's good and thick. Put it on top of that spot with a heavy weight and leave it for 24 hours. If the spot is old and dry, do the same thing, but do use white vinegar instead. The vinegar will help break down the uric salt crystals that are left behind from dried urine, help it to break loose from the carpet fiber.
So, besides pets, what are the other things that cause or can cause odors within a carpet?
Smoke, cigarette smoke, cannabis smoke, anything that has an oil to it will attach itself. You know, number one step in odor removal is remove the source of the odor. Anything you come in, if you don't remove the source of the odor, all you're doing is putting a perfume over the top of it. So, you know, if we go out and work in the yard, we don't come in and just spray, you know, cologne on ourselves and then go out and take our date out to eat. We get in the shower, we remove the source of the odor that's creating this bacteria growth that's causing the odor. And that's what you have to do. You locate where the odor's coming from and remove it first, And then once that's done, then you can address things from there. But that's the part that everyone seems to want to skip past is, well, I'll just, you know, spray this down and it'll magically disappear. And, you know, there's a source of an odor. You have to, if it's cigarette smoke or if it's cannabis smoke or, you know, whatever it is, remove that source.
Well, the source of my odor is two teenage boys, so I'm not really sure how, but we'll talk about how we're going to deal with that and deal with wood floors and other surfaces when we come back after the break on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team. Becky is having a very rare Saturday morning off, so I am here with Tim Fain of Exceptional Carpet or Exceptional Floor Care, because it's not just carpet. We've been talking carpets this majority of this time, but we're about to shift gears. But prior to that... It's time for our Word of the Day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 728-3700. Now, there are just, there's not many more things that affect the value of your investment of your home than the roof and the carpet. I mean, that is one of those two things that people just look at. So when we're talking about carpet, we're talking about what you can trust. And our word of the day is solution-dyed nylon. Now, that was a new one for me, Tim.
Okay.
Now, so what exactly is that?
Most of the time, nylon being the most durable carpet fiber besides wool, but nylon is usually dyed in a bath. It takes a neutral or grayish goods that has no color, and then it's dipped into a bath and then cooled and then sent out. The problem with that is that stains can get on it and become permanent. Solution dyed is where they take the color and they put it into the vat when they melt the fiber down into a solution, and then it comes out of the spinneret with the color all the way through it. When you have a solution dyed yarn, then it can actually withstand even a 10% bleach solution and not lose its color. So it's much, much, much more resistant to pet stains, furniture stains, some of those things that can often be permanent because the color goes actually all the way through it because the dye was added to it when it was in a liquid state and solution dyed and then put through the spinneret into a yarn and then cooled and made into a fiber. So that's what solution dyed is versus the old school way of doing things.
So if you're thinking about purchasing new carpet, write that down. Solution dyed fiber. I mean, it's because there's many different, right, but nylon's the most prevalent, right, one of those. And so that's our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing. Now, so we're going to shift gears to talk about wood floors. So I walk into places, and sometimes it's hard to tell whether something's a wood floor or not.
Right.
I get that question all the time. Is this wood or is it not wood? And some of the manufactured products now, it's hard for me to tell sometimes.
Right. And most people, you know, they want to discredit engineered wood. You hear that a lot. And engineered wood is just the top layer is actually hardwood. And then they use a less expensive substance underneath it. Mm-hmm. When that product and those products, laminates and things, started to come out, at first they were using a pressed board underneath it, and they had problems if it got wet, it expanded out, you know, created some issues. A lot of that stuff has been taken off the market, and they're not using that a lot now with laminates. But an engineered wood can actually be more durable than what people say hardwood floor is. So if you want to know which one you have, if your floor is raised up, in your transitions from one surface to another, and you have to step up about an inch or so. That's hardwood. It's got a subfloor that's been put underneath it, and it's actually wood all the way, you know, through your floor. If it's not, and it's even with your other surfaces, it's probably engineered wood, and probably 85% of what's being put down now is engineered wood, and if they put an aluminum oxide coating on it, very durable, is not as susceptible to water damage as hardwood is. And hardwood can, with your humidity in your home, can swell and shrink, and you can find loose boards and things in there. So every surface has its pros and its cons.
Yeah. So in the, like, for the hardwoods, so I went into a home yesterday showing a family a home, and it was a very, very shiny wood.
Yeah.
And it was built, so it was built in the 1940s, this house was. And it just didn't look right to me. Like there was something I walked in and went, this doesn't look right.
Right. Almost every time when you see a really high shine on a wood floor, someone has put a finish on the top of it, a temporary finish, and I'll emphasize that, temporary finish on it to give it that high shine, that they're kind of wanting that high shine look. Generally, the higher the shine, the softer the finish. So when you use products like Rejuvenate, Orange Glow, Quick Shine, Bona Polish, not the cleaner, but the actual polish, those are acrylic finishes that you're putting on your floor. I've even seen people put Mop and Glow on wood floors trying to get that high shine. And they look great for a while, but I'll tell you, if you put them on very often, more than, you know, two or three times, it starts to build up, get cloudy, splotchy looking. Your dog's fingernails, or toenails, I should say, scratch the surface easily, and then it all has to be stripped off. So I always tell people, resist the urge to put those shiny topical coatings on your wood floor, because it will be expensive or time consuming to remove.
So how do we take care of our wood floors?
Number one, just like carpet, vacuum or sweep as often as you can to keep the dry soil from resting into the grain and scratching it. And then use a good wood floor cleaner. I recommend Squeaky from Basic Coatings. You can get it on Amazon, dilute it 4-to-1 with water and apply it, and just mop it on and leave it. We'll never have a buildup, we'll never damage a wood floor. And Bona Cleaner, if you just use the cleaner, that's a decent product as well. Just be careful and don't pick up the bottle that looks just like it but says polish, because at some point, you will pay money to have that taken off.
That's the one that does the buildup.
That's right.
I love good naming. Squeaky. Squeaky's
right.
A great. that's a great name. Now, what about the engineered wood floor? Is it caretake differently, or what? How do we do?
Same thing. Engineered wood floors actually have a durable aluminum oxide coating on it. They don't need a finish put on them. You know, it's got polyurethane with aluminum oxide in most cases. Very, very durable. Just mist on the Squeaky. We do professionally clean wood floors. I say, you know, every 3 to 5 years, it's a good idea to have it done professionally just to clean it and get the deep embedded soil. But daily maintenance, apply your Bona or your Squeaky and mop it, vacuum it frequently, and it will give you years and years of good service.
So how do you professionally clean the?
We have a machine that actually has squeegees all the way around it and brushes that are meant for wood floors. We put down a more aggressive cleaner, go over it with that machine with those brushes, has vacuum and squeegees that sucks up that water. When we get rid of that, we go over it with Squeaky a second time to take off any residues that we have and leave it squeaky clean. And then we also offer a maintenance coat of polyurethane that we'll put down just to fill in where the traffic areas are and kind of restore a little bit of the natural luster.
Now, does wood have an odor issue also? I mean, that's a lot of people go, you know, they want that because they won't have odor issues, but do they?
They can. You know, wood can absorb things just like anything else. And I tell people just because you removed carpet doesn't mean your pet's automatically trained. So they will piddle on wood floors. You know, they'll prefer a softer fiber, you know, a rug or that type of thing, but they will. So you can get odors in wood floor. Just need to clean it up quickly because you can usually resort to replacing on a wood floor versus the soft surfaces.
Okay. And so the transition places between your carpet to your wood, I think that's a place that really can have issues. How do you deal with that?
Well, that's mostly the problem with your transition areas because it's a very heavy traffic area. The only way in the kitchen or out of the kitchen is usually one way. And so a lot of your traffic goes there. If you install carpet properly and they use a Z-bar, it will have something to protect that edge. But the most important thing, if they don't, and most don't do it that way, make sure that you seal the seam of the carpet with a latex or a seam sealer before it's tucked down in against that tile or stone so that the carpet fibers don't start to pull loose. Because when it does, if you put tack strip in that doorway like you're supposed to, when you have that tack strip, it will prematurely wear that area, and you'll get an area that looks like you can see the backing of the carpet and stick your foot with a bare foot on that tack strip. So either an installation with a Z-bar or at the very least, if they have tack strip in that area, make sure that they've sealed that seam good at that transition so those fibers don't come unlocked and slip out of place, leaving you with the backing and a hole in the bottom of your foot when you step on that tack strip.
Well, every time I get to hang out with Tim Fain from Exceptional Floor Care, I get an education. I love it. I learned so much from it. And we're going to talk about tile when we come back with Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of Becky Ivins' real estate team. And we're here with Tim Fain from Exceptional Floor Care, talking all things about flooring. And I think we have a caller on the line ready to talk to Tim. Go ahead, Becky.
Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
We have Becky Ivins on the line. Thanks for calling in, Becky.
Hey, Tim, have you out? I didn't get to listen to the rest of the show, so I do have a question for you. You know those ice drinks, it's sparkling ice, it's kind of a little bit of fizzy-flavored water?
I do.
You know the pretty red ones?
Yeah.
Delicious, but they did a number on my rug, and I'm the one that spilled it.
Uh-oh.
And it's my nice rug in the den.
Okay.
And I need some help getting that out. So what do I do? I put water on it immediately and then remembered I had a wood floor under it.
Right.
So then I had to go put
something underneath
under
it.
Right.
Depends on the
stained.
Depends on your carpet or the rug type. If it is a wool fiber, then do nothing to it because there's nothing you can do to get it out. You'll need to have it removed professionally. If your carpet fiber is viscose, which is very popular these days, or a synthetic fiber other than nylon, you should be able to use a gentle cleaner, maybe a drop or two of dish soap, and blotting, not rubbing, and because it's solution dyed, it will come out, and you don't have to worry about that. Nylon and wool actually requires, if it's not solution dyed nylon, regular nylon or wool will require a reducing agent to be applied to it with some steam to open up the acid dye sites and remove the synthetic dye that you've put in it out of it safely. So that has to be done by a professional. But if you have polyester, polypropylene, solution dyed nylon, or viscose, then it should clean up with just a mild detergent.
Can you tell what it's made of by how much it costs?
Sometimes. You know, there's a viscose. There's a lot of expensive viscose out there. And generally, your more expensive wools, rugs will be wool, silk, or viscose. Usually on the back corner of one of the four corners of the rugs, you flip it up, and it will tell you the country of origin and the fiber type as well, and that can tell you pretty much. Or if you put water on it, put your nose down close, and it smells like a wet dog, it's wool.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to leave that to you, okay?
Well, Becky, I was going to say, if you're going to do that, you need to send a picture into the show because it's all about, okay, you know, content for the show. You can send that to Becky at BeckyIvans.com. There's only one I in Ivans.
No, there's two I's in
There's Ivans. Two I's, one vowel.
Yeah, there's a vowel. Okay.
Well, thanks, Becky. Enjoy your time with your family.
Well, thank you. Did you?
Oh, I think we dropped Becky.
Show today?
She's still here.
Oh, she's still there?
Yeah.
Oh, well, dropped from my phone or from my headset. My headset dropped there for a second. Becky, enjoy your time with your family. Thanks for calling in. All right, bye. All right, Tim, we only have one little time to go to talk about tile. And the biggest thing with tile is grout.
Right, right. Cleaning grout. Best thing that you can do is avoid getting it dirty. We can professionally clean it. But if you do need to clean your grout lines, a good strong grout cleaner from like a Home Depot or Lowe's with a stiff brush, lots of scrubbing, apply it, allow the grout line to absorb the cleaner, and then you go in with a stiff bristle brush. Scrub it good, and then rinse it good, and make sure that you rinse it good because some of those cleaners can be kind of sticky.
I was concerned with the stiff brush of, like, scratching the tile that's next to it.
As long as it's a nylon bristle, then you're good. Don't use a wire brush because, yeah, you can definitely scratch it, but you'll be fine. Most ceramic tile or porcelain tile has a baked enamel finish to it that's very durable.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you have stone, if your tiles are stone, travertine or marble, then if you have a natural stone, you'll want to make sure don't use vinegar, anything acidic on it as well. And you want to be, especially marbles, a softer stone. You want to use a softer brush to clean that.
Now, I think most of the time we think of marble being a harder stone,
yeah,
but it's a softer.
It's a very soft stone,
yeah,
and it scratches and etches very easy. The thing that you'll notice on your soft stones is if you notice you have very, very narrow grout lines,
mm-hmm,
you've probably got a marble or a soft stone. And the reason why is because they then use an epoxy grout or a silicone grout, because sanded grout can scratch the marble when they're putting it down. So they go very thin. Grout lines are usually a soft stone. If they have a normal quarter inch or half inch grout line, then it's probably a ceramic.
So what do we use on our soft stone to clean?
You want to use a specific stone cleaner,
uh-huh,
and nothing on the acidic side because you'll etch it. You don't want to damage the polished surface of it. So nothing acidic and softer brushes with a specific stone cleaner. Probably best to get that at either a home improvement store or a tile and stone retailer that make sure that you're not using something that would damage a soft stone or the finish on a soft stone.
What other surface have we not talked about?
Laminate is another thing that we're saying, not laminate, but luxury vinyl is a word that you're throwing out there a lot these days. And so you're starting to see that in a good amount of houses. And on that, we do clean that as well. But on your daily maintenance, don't use a harsh cleaner on it. Use a neutral cleaner. Go to Home Depot or Lowe's in the janitorial section. Uh-huh. It'll say neutral cleaner. Dilute it like 10 to 1 with water and clean it with that. That neutral.
What does a neutral mean? I was about to ask that.
No pH. It's a neutral pH. Water is 7, which is a neutral on the pH scale.
Uh-huh.
So this neutral cleaner is a neutral pH. So the higher you can clean with a high pH or a low pH, but a low pH is considered acidic,
mm-hmm.
and the high pH is alkaline. And both of them can clean, but they can also do damage to a finish of a luxury vinyl. So it's always best to stick with a neutral cleaner when you're dealing with a luxury vinyl.
Well, Tim, this has been just a great great time with you. Very educational.
Thank
if you want more information about your carpets, your flooring, tile, wood being cleaned, you can go to exceptionalcarpetcleaning.com or give Tim a call. And if you can find that number at BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's favorites. And this is taking care of your investment and also is one of the biggest issues when we are prepping a home to be sold, is take care of the flooring. Because it makes a difference in the way they see your home in the first few steps they take in the door.
Absolutely.
And if you're interested in getting your house sold, you can give us a call at 405-722-3232. That's 722-3232. Tim, thanks for taking the time
thanks
on
for
this Saturday
having
morning.
Me.
Listeners, thank you for being with us on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK.